gotta be the best.
You wanna know what the difference is between you two? When you're working, I can always see your wheels turning. You're thinking about what you have to do next, what could go wrong. You're not in the moment. As much as it pains me to say this, the Todd is.
Please. Just because I'm thorough and I want to keep two Kelly clamps on the field in case the appendiceal artery is inadvertently incised so I can gain immediate hemostatic control doesn't mean I think too much. Plus, what if I
dum da dum da dum dum shiny scalpel. Dum da dum da dum da dum gonna slice him up.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade broadcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here, not homemade.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3... 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio, on Radio St. Pete. So nice to be with you. My name is Will Koontz, host of this program, the homemade broadcast. How are you? I hope you're well. Localtopia went out without a hitch, I think. This is pre-recorded, so technically I haven't done it yet, but I'm sure it went just fine. Thousands of people rolling through. Maybe embarrassed myself a few times. I don't know. Probably. That's probably a safe bet. If I were a betting man, I would go with I embarrassed myself a few times. But no matter, because I'm back here with you right here on the homemade broadcast. I don't know. This podcast is brought to you by Slybar. Check out why I love the burg is named Slybar, one of the top businesses to watch in 2015. And guess who took their throne in 2016? That's right, HMB Radio. Not rubbing it in, guys. I love you all very much, Joe and Lauren, but you can only have 1 year, and I think you earned it well. The bar is doing very well. You can visit them at 2061 Central Avenue. Check out the homemade broadcast stand-up comedy open mics every second and fourth Tuesday there. Slybar.com, you can find them. They always got really good beers, and they're going to have food soon, so you can eat there. I was forced to try some of the new foods that they were trying to cook up there, and they were all delicious. I didn't want to eat them because I wasn't hungry, but I did try some, and they were fantastic. So new ventures for Sly Bar. And, of course, Angelo's, who provides the pizza at the open mics, stpizza.com. You can find them, 536 First Avenue North, right here in St. Petersburg. Go visit them. Get yourself some pizza, some wings. Maybe you had a little bit to drink on a Friday night. That's a fantastic place to go and soak up all that booze in your tum-tum. So make sure you get out there and see them. Check out the other programs on this on hmbradio.com that you may not hear on Radio St. Pete, including James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast and the Dallas Cowboys podcast, hmbradio.com. You can find all those. And don't forget our web-exclusive content, the HMB Size, which can only be heard on podcast and on hmbradio.com. So subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Stitcher. I think any podcast app we're pretty much on. So be sure to do that. Rate it. Compliment it. If you don't like it, I will take criticism. But I would rather you just email me the criticism as opposed to rating it on iTunes. I need good things said there. I don't want any negative stuff. And now that I've said that publicly, of course, I'm sure I'll be trashed on iTunes. It's fine, though. Whatever. As long as you're experiencing and getting your joy out of trashing me, that's all that matters. You can leave a voicemail for us if you want. You can call and leave a voicemail, and I'll play it on air. 813-693-2124. Maybe you're interested in becoming a sponsor of this show. It's tough, I know, and it's hard putting your business name on a program like this. I get it, but I encourage you to do so. At least think about it a little bit. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. I will be happy to answer any questions that you may have about it. It's a pretty simple process, though. It's affordable, and it's a good way to get your business out there. I had a few people that I was talking to. One of them was a older fella and didn't quite understand internet radio or podcasting. I don't know why people have problems. Every person I talk to over 45 cannot grasp the concept of a podcast. It's just on-demand talk radio. That's it. That's all it is. It's a show. You turn on your radio. Instead, you use your mobile phone. Everybody has a smartphone now, even people over 45. So I don't understand why they just can't get it. But decided it wasn't for him. That's okay. I'll still give him a shout-out. John Knoll, the running realtor. Go check him out. I don't know what his stuff is, though, and I'm not going to give him free plugs. But, John, you missed out, buddy. And I'm going to make you pay. No, I'm teasing, of course, John. I love you very much. I'll see you at the next race. I do work these races to pick up extra cash for the Florida road races. You can see me there. I'll give you a T-shirt in your packet when you come register for the race and probably tease you a little bit, make fun of you. I like to flirt with the ladies. It's a lot of fun, and it always makes them uncomfortable, and that brings me a lot of joy. So, yeah, if you want to become a sponsor, The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. And that number, again, to leave voicemail, 813-693-2124. Make sure you like the Facebook, facebook.com/HMB Radio. And follow me on Twitter, home_made_band. Instagram's the same thing. Snapchat, even I have, if you want to send me pictures, The Homemade, what is it? The Homemade Man, I think, is me on there. I like to try to keep my social media all the same, so it's easy to find, but, you know, you don't think about these things till after you sign up for the account, of course. Anyway, this week, Robert Machio called into the program. You may know him as the Todd from the long-running television program Scrubs. James Bailey sat in from my mom's favorite podcast, and Rob was a great dude, man. He sat down. I asked him some weird questions, and he handled it like a pro. So let's get to that interview with Robert Machio.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's certainly nice to talk to you. I'm a big fan of Scrubs and some of your other work. You were a stand-up comedian first, weren't you?
You know, back in the day, I spent a good 7 or 8 years doing stand-up in New York. So, but I really was a theater person at first, and I got tired of waiting around to get cast in sort of not-so-great plays, so I would just spend days writing jokes, rehearsing jokes, and then going to open mics and performing, because that's what you did back then. You just went to as many open mics as you could, and eventually I became like an MC and a host, and then, you know, so I always had one foot in two different worlds, the theater world and the stand-up world, I would say.
Are you still active in stand-up?
I never do stand-up anymore, but since Scrubs has come to an end, I've discovered this whole world of Comic-Cons, and I get invited to some of them, and the closest thing I do to stand-up now is, like, basically I have, like, an hour Q&A when I go to these Comic-Cons, and each day I get an hour, and it's like a dream come true for a comedian, because they know who I am, they already have an expectation of who I am in terms of a character. So basically, I can slide in and out of that character all night long.
Does that bug you? I'm sure that must be annoying when people come up to you, hey, the Todd, and you're like, no, my name is Rob.
No, man, because I love to slide it in and out all night long.
The Todd's making sex jokes, yes!
See, I mean, I just, you know, I could just go in and out of character all night long. It's just so easy.
Can I get what else?
I'd like to go in and out of all night long.
Can I get a podcast 5, Todd?
You got to get a podcast 5 for the first sexual innuendo of the evening. Oh. Bet.
I love it, man. So what have you been, where are you at? Were you based in L.A.?
You know, I'm originally from New York, but now I live in California, so yes. And I'm staring at the ocean as we speak. It's a beautiful sunset here. My dog's staring at me saying, hey, when are we going to go for a walk and when are you going to feed me? So life is good.
What's the comparison? Do you like New York or L.A. better?
You know, I've always said that it is much better to be out of work in California than to be out of work in New York. Because everyone's out of work here, and you can walk down to the beach, you can go surfing, swimming. Like, you can be out. Like, if you're out of work in New York, you kind of, like, hold up in your apartment, and, you know, you just sort of, like, I feel like when you're young, though, because I spent my 20s in New York City, and it was such a blast, even though I had no money. But it's a great place to be, New York. But as you get a little older, I think, you know, I like the comfort of being, you know, like here in California, in Santa Monica. I'm at the beach, so it's kind of nice. That's my honest answer.
I'm going to jump in here. Rob, now that you're out in California, you said that you used to do comedy, you do the Q&As. Have you ever thought about getting back on stage, maybe touring a little bit, just having fun with it?
You know what? I think about it all the time. But, you know, do you remember the comedian Paul Reiser?
Oh, yeah. Had that show. Oh, God, why can't I think of the show?
Mad About You. Well, he was, you know, like a contemporary of Jerry Seinfeld. He was a slightly older guy, had a great sitcom that ran for 9 or 10 years with Helen Hunt. Man. And anyway, he was asked recently, he was thinking about it recently. I think Jay Leno said to him, why don't you get out there? Why don't you get back out there? So here's the story. He calls the comedy club manager and he says, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, get back into stand-up. I'd like to come down to your club and go on stage. And he's like, but, you know, he's older now. He's like, so, but the guy says to him, no, sure, Paul, come on, great. When the show starts at 10. And he says, at night? Because he's like, by 8:30, I got my pajamas on. It's like, what do you mean? He was just like, so as much as I would like to go do stand-up again, you know, if we could do it like from 6:30 to 7:15, you know what I mean? And maybe the people could come to my house instead.
Yeah, just that would be nice. Set up a little stage. You could always go out to Arizona. That's where all the retirees are. Newhart's touring out there.
Oh, God. That's incredible that he still does it. I mean, what a pro.
He's in his 80s?
70s? He's got to be in his mid-80s by now, I would imagine. He's still out there knocking about.
I think when you get to a certain age, like, for example, Bob Newhart, I'm imagining that going out and doing stand-up and just being out amongst people every night and working your craft, that's the thing that keeps you going. It keeps you alive. It keeps you interested in life.
Oh, most definitely. You know? Yeah, because there's like Joe Paterno, once he retired coaching football, he just dropped dead.
Oh, God. Well, that's a whole separate set of circumstances. Yeah. But you're right. When people stop doing what they do their whole lives, it's like they kind of stop. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. But, you know, I did this Comic-Con in Australia, and I met William Shatner.
Oh, nice. Shatner's in town here, actually, at the Mahaffey Theater.
I mean, this guy, talk about a guy in his 80s who doesn't stop. I mean, every weekend, this guy has a gig, and it's not like he doesn't have any money. You know, he loves this stuff. Mm-hmm. He loves being busy.
How is he?
A great story about William, huh?
I was going to say, how is he as a person?
I found him to be very nice, very professional, very cordial, you know, he's very kind to me. But the thing with William Shatner, if I understand the story correctly, is that, you know, he used to be that spokesperson for Priceline.com. Mm-hmm. And in the recession, when the recession hit 2007, 2008, Priceline's stock just plummeted to like $1, $2 a share. And they hired him back. And he said, you know what, you could pay me, but you can pay me in stock options. And, you know, when the economy recovered and that company recovered, their share price went to like $1,000 a share.
Oh.
So apparently William Shatner made $500 million.
Whoa.
As a spokesperson for Priceline.com.
Wow.
I mean, that is so crazy. Like, the biggest payday of his life happened when he was like 75 years old. Doing a commercial.
Yeah, I guess that so just, you got to get a commercial gig, man. Yeah.
I mean, he has more money than God. So when I see him at a Comic-Con signing autographs, I just think, I know it's not about the money.
It
has to be about whatever that thing is, you know?
Yeah, he kind of seems like a guy who really likes to be around people, and especially people that enjoy him.
Yes, it feeds him, definitely. I would think so. I would think so for sure.
So, Rob, you had a great run on Scrubs, which is one of my favorite programs of all time. And actually, how we started getting into contact was, I'm humiliated to admit this, but I used to collect autographs when I was younger. And I wrote to you, and you were nice enough to send me one, and I still have it hanging in my bedroom to this day, as
You're
a matter
kidding.
Of fact. No, I still have it.
I can't believe that.
That's how big of a fan I am, I'm telling you. I love that program. But you were nice enough to do it for me. So then I got a LinkedIn request from you, and I was like, that's super weird. And I sent out a Twitter saying thank you, and then so we started chatting, and that's how you're on this program here today. So,
that's amazing.
Yes.
You know something?
It truly
I think
is.
When people first, you must have written to me early in the run of Scrubs.
I was probably
like maybe during the first.
Yes, I must have been 14. I'm 30. No, wait. I must have been probably closer to 18 because I'm 31 now.
Okay.
So yeah, it must have been 30, towards the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
When did Scrubs come on?
2003. When people would write to me to that account, I would write. You know, I would sit in the production office because I made them make pictures of me because they didn't have headshots of me as the Todd. And every Friday I would sit and I would send them out.
Oh.
But when the show came to an end, I stopped doing that.
So no more. So I got a limited edition, is what you're saying.
Well, now periodically I go to these Comic Cons and people pay for my autograph, which is even worse.
Are you looking to come back down to Tampa anytime soon?
You know what? I've done like two or three Comic Cons a year for the last 3 or 4 years. So I've done like 12 of them, but I've only done them abroad. I've only done them in places that I've wanted to travel to. Like I've been to Australia 3 times, New Zealand. Dublin, Glasgow, London, Vienna. So, like, here's the thing. My parents, you know, they worked their whole lives, and they always said, my parents, like, oh, when we're older, when we retire, then we'll travel. They would always say that. We'll travel. We'll see the world when we get older. But now my parents are, like, 75, and they can't even walk up the hill. They can't even walk across the street.
Right.
And so they're never going to do those things. And I realized, like, just a couple of years ago, I was like, I have an opportunity right now to travel because of this show and like go to places I might like. When else am I ever going to go to New Zealand for free and make a little money? So I started doing some of these Comic Cons more for life experience type stuff than going to, you know, sell autographs. And it's coming to an end, although I do have a couple more this summer. I'm going to go to Dublin again and I'm going to go to Stuttgart, Germany.
Ooh.
But, I never have done a Comic-Con, and answer your question, in the United States.
That's the crux.
I don't know if I really want to go to Pittsburgh. You know?
Exactly. Or Tampa, for that matter. Yeah, I don't necessarily blame you, although we have the best strip clubs in the world, supposedly.
Oh, that's good. You know, you have an accent like almost like
a robot?
Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, thanks. I dig that.
I think he's from North Carolina originally.
Yeah, Florida's kind of this mishmash of everywhere kind of combined in the one. So we got a lot of southern people. We got the Northeast is a big influence here. We got a lot of those people. And then James is from Wisconsin. So we got it's a whole melting pot here in the state of Florida.
If you've seen Making a Murderer, pretty much any time that his parents are talking or the old people are, my family sounds just like that. All the time.
Now I gotta watch. That's the Netflix show, right? Now I gotta watch that show.
Yeah, the one. It's not a bad show. It definitely caused a lot of people to start doing legal research, which is weird. But
yeah, everyone's an attorney now. Yeah. Rob, how did you? You did the stand up. Did you ever have a horror story on stage that you were just like, "Oh my god, I never want to do this again"?
Oh god, I honestly had so many of those, especially in the beginning. I mean, the feeling, I don't know if people who never did stand-up, the feeling of bombing, it's got to be the worst feeling in the world because on the one hand, you could feel it happening physically when they don't laugh after several jokes. And, you know, like I remember getting like cotton mouth. and yet red-faced and sweaty at the same time. Like, I was just like, my body was like shutting down. It was like the worst feeling ever. And then you'd walk off, and then like for like that feeling would stay with you for like a couple of weeks.
Oh, sure.
I was so thin-skinned compared to most comedians.
So you didn't.
You know, there's that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You weren't. So like stand-up wasn't your. You kind of just got into stand-up as a tool to get into performing and acting, or.
I, after college, went to a 2-year acting conservatory, and I was a triple threat: sing, dance, and act. The neighborhood play, a school of the theater, and I studied acting with Sandy Meisner. And I thought like I would do like a Neil Simon type play on Broadway every year, and then do an independent film. But it doesn't work that way, you know? And so you take acting classes, you go on auditions, but like you never get to perform. So I realized, you know, you have to get in front of an audience. It's like a key ingredient, because you have to get feedback and learn how to say a setup and a punchline and then hold for a laugh. And like there's that whole craft and skill. And you, in many ways, I felt like I had to become a good stand-up in order to get work as an actor, which is ultimately what happened.
Yeah, that seems to be the course that a lot of comics take. They do it to act. If you're just joining us, we're here with Rob Machio. Rob was one of the performers on the show Scrubs that had a great run. You know, I'm trying to figure out a way to ask this that's not getting too personal. But I think it's every actor's dream to be on a successful television program that goes into syndication.
Just runs forever, and thank God it does.
Yes, and meaning that you get a check every month. So you don't. Obviously, you don't need to give me the exact amount. But like, what? What can you? Can you buy lunches for yourself every day on that money?
Well, the thing is, people think it's like a holy grail, the syndication, but it's really not. It's not. And first of all, Scrubs doesn't run anymore. It only runs on Netflix. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the checks have come to an end. I don't mean to dispel your, you know.
This is terrible news. This is breaking my heart right now.
Who do we need to write to get that back on TV?
It's so weird that it didn't syndicate that. Like, it had a nice run. Like, for example, in 2006, Comedy Central bought the rights to it for, like, 3 years, and they ran it, like, 4 times a day.
I spent a lot of days that way.
A lot of – it was on – they really ran the heck out of it on Comedy Central for, like, 6 years. And then it ran, it syndicated. But that's why I got to do the Comic-Cons, because it ran around the world. And it ran in all those places I told you, like Australia, New Zealand. It ran in 50 countries around the world. So that's what afforded me the opportunity to go to those places, because those people knew who I was, and they just wanted to high-five me. So I would like go there and just high-five people. People would come up to me on the street and they would just want to high-five me, you know, wherever I went.
I'm a germaphobe, so that would be terrible. I'd be mortified about that. Do you carry hand sanitizer on you constantly?
Constantly, absolutely, because you never know. You don't want to be patient zero, because then I have one person.
Right. Yeah, so can we do a fist bump instead?
No, you can't.
But that's my thing. You can't. High five. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say is that, you know, I played such a guy's guy on the show that, like, when guys recognize me, they come up to me and they just let it all hang out, you know? they want to high-five me. They want to spot me at the gym. They want to show me under the hood of their car. The gay gentlemen want to just show me under the hood of their car. But the women, they just want to know one thing. The women just want to know one thing. They just want to know, what's Zach Braff really like?
Of course, Zach Braff is one of my favorites, though. You can hardly blame him. And he has dynamite areolas. He just
what are you going to do?
He's a handsome
guy. I've gotten
guy.
Used to it.
But it's the Todd, though. Like, there wasn't a, you know, Dr. Dorian website, but there was thetodd.com.
Yeah, there was the whole ToddTime.com, which was kind of silly and funny. And, you know, ABC has held the rights to that website because people have asked me, how come you don't do anything with it? It's like I could have offered to buy it from them, but they've kind of, like, taken the domain and they've just kind of sat on it, which is so annoying to me because people ask me and I can see when they come to my website, they search that term, the ToddTime.com, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So weird.
Yeah.
You go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I wasn't going to say anything, really.
this woman comes up to me, and she recognizes me, and she says, I know you. I'm in the entertainment business too, she says to me. She says, I'm a magician. I eat and blow fire. And I said to her, great, my nickname in high school was Fire. Show me your act.
I thought you were going to say she was a podcaster at first.
Then I said to her, hey, maybe we can do a two-person show. You could stand on stage and say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, I will blow fire. And then I would walk out on stage and let the magic happen. I hope that's not too dirty for your podcast.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We just got to keep it PG-13. But, you know, we do extra content. But so maybe you can call back some other time and we'll do the extra content. And you can curse to your heart's desire, my friend.
Okay.
On my podcast, we curse and talk about self-medication way too much.
Living in California, I would imagine that would be everybody smokes out there. Do you engage in that sort of activity out there? Do you have your card?
No, I don't. It's passed. That time in my life has passed by already.
Yeah, me too. I kind of have a follow-up question to that. I wrote some questions so we don't have to talk about Scrubs the whole time. But I kind of just stole them from another podcast, which I think stole it from another podcast. But I'm going to go ahead and use them.
Stock questions. I love it. You got to reuse the questions.
That's right.
The same way I reuse jokes, you reuse questions.
That's right. So what you said when you were younger, you engaged in these things. What was the highest you have ever been in your life?
Oh, God. Well, I got to tell you, when I was like junior high and high school, I would experiment with it was a game for us, my brother and I. Like we like to grow pot plants, and we would grow them in my parents' garden, and we'd put like a pot plant in between each tomato plant, and we'd tell my mom it's like a marigold, you know, keeps the bugs away. And all summer my mom would like faithfully water the plants for us and prune, and like they got so. And then one day, one of my mom's friends came over and she said, you know, Patricia, this is a marijuana plant. And she was so taken aback.
Did she know what marijuana was? And she's like, yeah, it's
now,
beautiful.
Then she did. But, you know, back then, like, and we would get so into it. Like, we would grow the plant. We would dry the leaves. And we'd make, and we'd smoke a joint. And after we smoked a joint, we'd be like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm high. Are you high? Like, it was so weak, the stuff. It was so weak, the marijuana back then. So, fairly recently, maybe within the last 5 years, I was at a Hollywood-type party, and for whatever reason, somebody just passed a joint, and I don't really smoke anymore, but I took one hit of this marijuana, this pot, of the pot, and the next thing I know, maybe like 3 to 5 minutes later, I'm on the ground. I passed out. I totally passed out, and apparently, like, I knocked over a lot of, like, boxes of, like, bottles, and, like, I made quite a scene, and there's, like, three guys standing over me. And they're just like, just stay down, dude. Just stay down.
I don't think that was pot you smoked, Rob.
I don't know what it was, but I'm afraid to get high because I think it's like 1,000 times stronger today. So I'm really afraid to even smoke anymore.
I can definitely tell you as an avid enthusiast, it's very strong.
Very strong. Very strong. Not when we used to smoke it back in the day.
James will come in and partake. I don't partake anymore. Those days are behind me as well. But I always get this weird little contact thing from it, and it always weirds me out. The first time he did it, I went for a run, which I had not done in years before or years since, for that matter. It just put me in this weird spot. I'm afraid of it, too. It's too strong.
I don't drink, though. That's pretty much all I do is just that, you know, because I'm not good with alcohol, and other drugs are kind of seem overkill when you're not even drinking. Do you like to go? Do you drink? Do you party? Or you just kind of like, let me do some work, let me make some appearances?
Listen, I'm an old guy now, so, like, you know, I have a nice glass of wine with dinner. I have a nice cold sake with my sushi. But, like, the days of me going out drinking are kind of over, to be honest with you. I know your fans are like, what happened to the Todd? But that's kind of
– Dude, I'm telling you, I feel it now at 31.
You guys don't understand. I am so old. I'm in my 40s.
Oh, my God. That's not that old, man. I'm almost there.
I'll be 36.
Yeah, James is 36. I'm 31. I feel it already. I go to bed at 11 o'clock on Friday nights now. I never thought that would happen.
And among other things, I'm also single. But to be in your 40s and to be single, it's kind of cool because I can date women anywhere from like 30 years old to like 50 years old.
Technically, and you can date them to 18 to 78 if you wanted to.
Well, I was going to say by 30, I mean 20. and by 50, I mean 27. It's like they're coming out of diapers and I'm going into diapers.
That's right. That's the thing about men, though, is men can do that. Women, it's cruel being a woman. I'm so glad that I'm a dude.
Well, Demi Moore did it. Demi Moore was dating Ashton Kutcher. There was like 30 years between them.
Yeah, but she's Demi Moore.
She really worked hard to keep herself together. It's kind of amazing.
There are unicorns that exist, certainly, and Demi Moore is one of those.
Cindy
but
Crawford.
Most women can't get away with that.
Yeah.
Rob, what is the most embarrassed you've ever been in your entire life?
Interesting question, because you know I don't really get embarrassed too much. That's why I played perhaps one of the most unabashed characters on TV. You know,
there must be something as a kid or something. You got pantsed or something like that, and everyone saw your wiener.
That might have happened to me once when back. I get embarrassed in everyday circumstances in life, but you know, I knew the creator of the show, Bill Lawrence, for a long time. I had done a play for him like 10 years before Scrubs came to be. And I also, the first part I had on a TV show was Spin City, that show with Michael J. Fox, and
right.
He had co-created that.
Yep.
And he had cast me in that. So it's just interesting that you asked me that question about being embarrassed, because he knew me so well, because I had known him for over a decade, that like when he wrote this stuff for me to do, he just knew I would commit 100% and never be embarrassed, like to wear a banana hammock, you know, just to walk around. He just knew that if anybody was going to do this and really pull it off and not, you know, it would be me.
Yeah, right.
It's so interesting that you asked that about being embarrassed. Because, like, in life, as an actor, you know, the most embarrassing things that could happen to you in life are the very things you want to get the chance to act to do. Because it's pretend. It's like all those things in life you would never do.
Right.
But I don't know. I have tons of embarrassed. I'm embarrassed every day. Jesus. I get embarrassed all the time. Every time I have sex, it ends with me saying I'm sorry. It's horrible.
And thank you. Thank you for letting me do that to you. If you're just joining us,
I'm sorry. Where should I leave the money? Terrible.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. We have on Robert Machio. Am I saying your name right?
Machio.
Sorry.
I used to be the Karate Kid.
Yeah, right? I have a terrible last name, so I make an effort to try to say people's names right. My last name is... last name is Kunczz, and it kind of sounds like a body part if you look at it. It's pronounced Kuntz, like the author. So middle school was
Kuntz.
Really tough for me.
Oh.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Did the most embarrassing... Okay, I got one. Who is the coolest person in the world?
Now, you're not talking about a cast member of Scrubs. You're just talking about the coolest person in the world.
In general, it could be if you want it to be. But, I mean, like, you don't even necessarily have to have met them. Just a person that you're like, man, that dude or female is the best, coolest person.
Oh, God, that's a hard question. I mean, there's so many cool people out there, aren't there? It's just like...
Not really.
I don't think so.
I
would say some of my NBA basketball players. I don't know. Steve Curry seems pretty cool. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, those guys seem pretty cool. Super Bowl's coming up this Sunday. Peyton Manning seems pretty cool.
Okay, let me rephrase then. Who is the coolest person that you've met? They don't have to be famous necessarily either.
I would say, like, Michael J. Fox was a pretty cool guy.
That's
a good
one.
It was the first time I was ever on a TV show, and he was really generous and gracious towards me. And then I ran into him on Scrubs, like, 10, 12 years later. And he just, I would say Michael J. Fox, without a doubt.
I think that's a good choice, definitely. He seems like he's really, I've seen, well, of course, Back to the Future was like one of my favorite films growing up as a kid. So I always have a soft spot in my heart for Michael J. Do you see him anymore?
Yeah. I haven't seen him since he worked on Scrubs that one time. It's not like we're in the same social circles.
You didn't try to become best friends with Michael J. Fox? That would have been first thing on my agenda.
I could actually top myself with the coolest thing right now if you want.
Yeah, go
for
it.
When I was back in the day going to the neighborhood playhouse school, the theater, I dated this woman, and her godparents were Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
What?
So for like, a year I got to hang out. Like, I went to New Year's at the Newman's house, and I got to have a beer with Paul Newman. You know, I got to have a couple of beers with him. I got to hang out with him. I even wrote a story. I have a story about the night I had a beer with Paul Newman. It's on my website, robertmancio.com. Like, I wrote a story about it based on my experience meeting him. And I would say that I think that the night I hung out with Paul Newman might have been the coolest night and the coolest guy I've ever met. Paul Newman, for sure.
That's a good answer, too. Yeah, you can't really go wrong with that. What is the
–
You know
that he before I move on – he created that Newman's Own. It's a whole line of foods.
Sure.
You know, it started with a Newman's Own popcorn, and then it became Newman's Own tomato sauce and Newman's Own. Anyway, they've raised – all of that is nonprofit. He's raised – you know, he's passed away a couple of years ago, but they raised billions of dollars for charity.
Yeah.
I mean, billions of dollars, and it will go on forever, which is sort of like if you're going to be famous or be well-known for something in this world and become like an iconic – to use all that notoriety, all that fame, in service to a charity like that, I think that's kind of like the coolest thing a person could do.
I mean, if you're going to leave a legacy, that's definitely a legacy. I mean, it's no Todd legacy. It's no Todd legacy, but it's a good legacy to leave.
It's a solid legacy. It's not like a tired of the sexual innuendo in your endo, but it's pretty solid. You know, I wish I could do something like that, but I gotta, you know. Keep it about the ladies.
Yeah. Rob, one more question before we let you go, and it's a doozy. You have brothers and do you have brothers and sisters or just brothers?
Three brothers.
Three brothers. Okay. So what was the worst fight that you've had with your brothers?
Wow. God, I feel like I'm letting you down because my brothers and I, we all looked out for each other so much. We always are so supportive.
Even as kids?
Even as kids, especially as kids. You know, I took the SAT once, and I got like a 1340. I got a very high score, but I wanted to get a 1350. And so we retook the test, my brother and I. And my twin brother and I, like, I didn't know the answer to these two questions. And he literally whispered the answer to me, and I cheated on my SAT the second time around so that I can get a 1350. And my brother did that for me. I'll never forget it, my twin brother. So when you say, what's the worst fight we ever had? All I can think is all the times that we've helped each other.
You're a freak of nature, man. Because I would imagine I grew up an only child. I don't have any brothers or sisters, and I always I always hear horror stories whenever my friends they talk about these drag out fights that they would have where they just beat the crap out of each other.
We never did it. I don't know what to tell you. I know that's not a great answer, but we always looked out for each other, which is a good way to go through life to have brothers who look out for you. I'm a twin too. I have a twin brother.
Oh yeah!
Oh wow!
We're not identical.
We're fraternal.
Is he in the? Aren't you all the Machios in performing arts of some kind?
He spent some years writing, but he got married, had a kid, and so he got his law degree and he practices law now. He had to feed other mouths other than his own, so he had to grow up and do something else.
It pays the bills, yeah. So, okay, yeah. So one more then, since that one was kind of a dud. I'm a little disappointed. What is the worst song in the world?
Oh, my God. The worst song in the world. I don't know. Can you have a choice of five to choose from?
Now you're putting me on the spot.
Anything by Nickelback? I don't know.
That's a good answer.
That's
solid.
The go-to. Here's the thing about Nickelback, though, is
they
that
suck.
Everyone, I kind of like some of their songs. And that I wouldn't buy any of their albums, but there's obviously people that are into them because they sell a lot of records. So I feel like people listen to it even though they don't want to admit it.
That's a big admission for you on your own podcast to tell your fans that you like Nickelback.
Whoa, wait a minute. I didn't say that. I don't mind some of their songs. There's a few that if they come on the radio, I will crank up to five maybe and roll my windows up.
You heard him, Rob. He's a Nickelhead.
All right. I think we learned something here. Fair enough.
All right, Rob. We'll let you get out of here, man. Promote your social media and all that.
I'm at robertmascio.com, and I have original stories and merchandise and videos, and you can follow me on Twitter at robertmascio and on Facebook and all that, and Instagram. I take nice, beautiful pictures of the sunset. but listen, thanks so much for taking the time. It was really a pleasure to talk to you guys.
All right, there you go. Rob Mascio, great guy, good talk. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Check out the open mic, the homemade broadcast stand-up comedy open mic, this Tuesday, February 9th, 2016 at Sly Bar. It's free to watch, free to perform. If you just want to come eat, you can have pizza, courtesy of Angelo's. There's a $50 cash prize to the best comedian of the night and a nerd tag, as our friends at Free Fab 3D print up for us as your trophy. So you can show it to people, you can rub it in their stupid faces and say, I won Will's homemade broadcast stand-up comedy open mic. Check out the shows, My Mom's Favorite Podcast with James Bailey. Thank you, James, for sitting in and talking with me today. I certainly appreciate it. Check them out, hmbradio.com, as well with the Dallas Cowboys podcast is there too. So check that out. I'm going to leave you with some music today. What do you think about that? Our good friends, the Plastic Pinks, they were on the show not too long ago. Check that out. You can check them out in the archive at hmbradio.com, radiostpete.com, and their archive. Here is the Plastic Pinks with Living on the Coast.
Yep. One, two, three, four.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.